Blog Talk Radio.
And also, I wanted to keep it open since we're still within the Unleavened Bread week. If you have had an experience with the Passover that you would like to share, I'm open for that too. I was seriously impressed and thank the Most High. I had an opportunity to finally meet my brother Andre. Okay. I mean, what a blessing. I mean, a serious interviewer. I mean, he's very good, talented in that area. And in many, I was so glad to meet him for the first time. And I'm looking forward, Andre, and to having a sit down with you in order for you to introduce exactly how you can help us as far as your work in the medical field. But I digress. So with that, Q&A with the elders. Let's go down the line, starting at the 302 area code.
Shalom, elder.
How are you? Did you lose your voice too?
Yeah. I had a blast. This was my first Passover, me and my wife. But I got it all out. I let it all out at the table.
I'm just getting my voice back. Just getting it back. What a time. What a celebration. But the floor's yours.
It all worked out for us because I'm in a truck, so I was able to come through and shut down right there in Cleveland.
Okay. Praise the Most High. Praise the Most High.
But
now in particular, do you have a question for me or anything? I'm open for that if you like.
It's something a little funny. We washed our hands together in the men's bathroom. I heard your voice, but I didn't know it was you. I looked and I said, Shalom, Elder. You didn't hear me because all the chatter in the bathroom.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, that's no problem.
Yeah.
But that's pretty well. I just wanted to talk about my experience. Me and my wife.
Let me ask you this: Was this your first Passover?
Yes. I was dancing and praising. I paid for it the next day, though.
It's fine. I will go. Yeah, so did all of us. Now, is it more than what you expected, actually?
Absolutely.
Praise the Most High. It gets better with each year.
The second half of the play, because we left at the intermission. We old people, we had to go get some sleep.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Well, thank you and welcome to the body, my brother. And, hey, we're going to do this until we go marching into the kingdom. Let's get ready, brother. This is just preparation for what's to come. And let me tell you, I grew up in the Christian church. I have a long, as far as family line, a long history of pastors on either side of my family. So I'm not downplaying what have gotten us here. But where we are now, there's no way we're going back to that. All due respect. I mean, and listen, I understand there was a time in which us coming together spiritually to operate with our backs against the wall, the enemy, racism, and all these others against us, I understood the political and the community need for what we once had as a church. There was a reason that the Most High have church was our refuge outside of that. Our political protection, everything, how we met, strategized, church was once the headquarters to help us through tough times. But the Christian churches no longer have that political pull or help within the community for our people like it was back then. Church has become something else. Church today, Christian church, especially black churches, have become really a wing of the Democrat Party. It's a political machine used to get us to believe in a system that have always destroyed us. So there's no way we're going back to that. And after seeing the Passover, who would dare to go back to that? Right?
Come on.
Well,
my
bless
father
you, brother. What, I'm listening?
My father was a deacon, Baptist deacon, and my mother was a Jehovah's Witness. I said, nah, this ain't for me. They didn't want me to ask questions. I said, well, you got the wrong one. I ain't no robot. So
Thank you.
Most likely, you know, he led me in this direction. So,
yeah. And I'm going to tell you.
I'm not.
I'm going to say this. I know your parents are great people. All right? See,
yes,
and this,
absolutely.
And I like to preface that with some people think when we come against these evil satanic cults like Jehovah's Witness, like the Christian church, like the Catholic church, right? Some people think that we are attacking those who congregate amongst them, and it's not that at all. It's some beautiful people that came out of these institutions, but it was their love for God and Christ that had them there. But make no bones about it. The Christian church is a cult. The Western Christian church, including the Jehovah's Witness, are cults. And I'm going to be able to prove that. If you're in this academy, when I go into the black church during the time of modern-day Christianity, you're going to realize the ancient ritualistic practices they fused with our church. They're cults. The Christian church are cults. And they're trying to flip it around by claiming that those who know they're Israelites, that's a cult. But I digress. Well, thank you, brother. Thanks for calling. I'm going to get to the next call, and I hope to see you again. And the next time, hopefully it's not us passing in a bathroom, okay? All right?
God.
My brother from the same mother. Thank you, sir. Bless you. Stay on, and I'm going to get to the next call. 706 area code Q&A's with the elders. 706.
Shalom, elder.
Shalom, sister. How are you? Your name?
My name is Sandy Jackson. I talked to you before. Matter of fact, I've been waiting
yes.
on a call from you.
Don't worry
you,
about it. Well, it was the Passover that got in the way of that, Sandy, but don't worry about it. You will soon receive that call, actually. So our slate is clean, and we can go. We can do it. All right?
All right. Well, I thank y'all for all what you do, Elder. I learned a lot. It's a blessing to know that Ahaya is the creator, and his son, Yeshaya, is the son that sacrificed for us. I've been through a lot of stuff, going through a lot of stuff right now. Ever since I got baptized, it just seemed like everything is coming after me. My family, my mother is sick now. My son has been real sick. But I still keep my prayers going up to the Most High. I still believe in what he's saying and doing and what you are teaching. And I will tell
yeah.
anybody to get in the class, because this is the only way you're going to be able to really learn. I've been in the Patreon now going on 2 years. And
thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yes, and I've learned a lot. And you're right. You have to be careful what you say and when you say it, because people will block you if you're telling the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you about your mother and your family members. I pray that they heal from any ailments or attacks that are going on currently. And I will pray for your family. Let me ask you, Sandy, did they take the jab, yes or no?
No. I know my son then. I'm not sure about my mother. I'm going to say it like that.
Because
I'm not sure about my mother.
They were full court press on the elderly initially. So you really have
to
side more. Yeah, they tried to get everyone. But they went hard at the beginning, we thought this was a thing that if elderly don't take the jab, if they don't take it, they'll die. That's how they were pushing it initially.
Right.
And then they switched the narrative that, no, no, you can still get COVID and die even after the vaccine. They switched it later after they used the fear tactic. So there's what I'm saying is you need to side on more so on the – you need to move more so on the side that there's a higher probability that she got
right.
it.
Right.
And
absolutely.
The reason
that's
why is – yeah, because the treatment when it comes to getting the metals out of her body and making sure she have all of the nutrients to boost her immune system – would be better for her whether she got the vaccine or not, right? So
right.
What I'm saying is more so try to side to the probability of her actually getting it so that you can get in front of getting her the herbs and all that's needed to get her back to health, all right?
Well, I'm talking to Dr. Truman now about with my son. He's
good.
Working with me now. I've ordered the medicine
great.
And... he's taking it and stuff, so we're just taking it one day at a time, Elder. And I just ask you to pray for my son because his spirit is very strong. He don't want to believe that he's a diabetic. He's not taking that insulin because he know the insulin has started making him blind. So I just ask you to keep praying for us, Elder, because my son is really
I will
sick
pray
right
for
now.
You. A lot of our brothers and sisters don't know that it all started with the vaccinations with us growing up when it comes to astigmatism in the eyes and having certain adverse reactions, which lead to the diagnosis of diabetes also, hence the reason why they started pushing to get vaccines as what? As necessary to be in school. So a lot of people aren't tying this together. The astigmatism of the eyes, glaucoma, all of these things first start with the weakening of our immune systems through their vaccine, through the vaccine at an early age. And then after we grow, cancers and all these others come from that initial introduction of death that came throughout the vaccine schedules. So, but all in all, you're in good hands with Truman. And really the reality is, undoing the shock vaccines have had on our bodies and getting our bodies back to receiving what was initially by the Most High intended for it. A matter of fact, when I look into the word and I study the word, vaccines are anti-God.
Mm-hmm.
They're anti-God. And, and we as a church, we're naturalists. We don't go for it. We don't deal with it. And if there are risks, we're willing to take those risks. Instead
and
of
that's the way
compromising
my son
our body right with these foreign poisons, right?
Yes.
So, all right. So I'm going to pray for your son. Don't worry about that. And keep in mind, after years of making us sick, okay, we look into immediately get a reaction or a turnaround in a few months against something that took years to happen. So what
absolutely,
I'm saying to you
Elder,
is
right.
to be patient. It may not be overnight, but if you put the right things in your son, you will see progress. All
right?
Right.
And that's what I keep telling him because he said, well, Mama, I don't see no results. I said, well, you just started taking it, so you got to give it a chance.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I'm
the body, believe it or not, the body and the spirit will eventually react to it, and he'll see a change. I mean, after years
right.
of damaging our bodies, starting with vaccines, bad food, and everything else, it's going to take,
mm-hmm.
it's a process.
Right.
It's a process, right? So you have to let them know, this is not hocus pocus here. This is your body.
Right.
And initially, your body goes through a shock when you begin to put good things in it after so long adjusted itself to bad things. So people may
mm-hmm.
look at that as, okay, neurologically something is going on with my body, my mind, my body is reacting negatively. No, your body is actually transforming to receive the good stuff opposed to the bad stuff. So there's a sick
mm-hmm.
period during the transition also. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean the stuff isn't working. It's your body adjusting. All
right? Right.
Well, thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elder.
Right.
I love y'all, the whole GOCC family. I love y'all. Y'all keep on with it, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, sister. Bless you. All right. And have a blessed Feast of Unleavened Bread. All right.
You too.
Going down the line, 816 area code, and then 864 Q&As with the elder.
Hello. Shalom.
Shalom. This is Elder Rikar Shiar coming straight out of Israel.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me.
Shalom. I had a question, Elder, concerning like the Gentiles, I guess Esau. I was just wanting to know, since those were, you had some that actually went to the Canaanites, but the ones who, I guess, mixed with the Saudis, the Ishmaelites, as far as their hue or facial features or anything like that, like you could identify like Egyptians and things like that, do you know who they probably are in the earth, or are they in Saudi Arabia where you can't tell them the difference from each other who didn't mix with the Canaanites?
Okay. So what you're asking in particular, what families can be recognized in the earth who are the Edomites who aren't tainted?
Correct.
Right? Or they didn't mix their blood with the Canaanites, like the other families in Genesis 36. I know you went over that through some of my lessons, where it showed the families outside of the Canaanite women that Esau married. Well, there's no reason to really try to identify them in general, because what? The Canaanite families under Esau, the dukes and all that, separated themselves politically as well as genetically from the rest of the Edomite families. So the royal families, like the czars of Russia, they're actual czars, right? The czars of Russia go straight to Esau. These are your President Putins and all that. When you look at them, their family is separated from the norm when it comes to Edomites or white people. They keep their families separated. Eastern Europeans in general, all of the Eastern Europeans predominantly, if I had to put a percentage on this, are 90 to 95% pure blood Edomites. Right? Germans. The original Italians, but as you can see, the Pope don't look anything like this, like the dark Italians. So they keep their families separated, like the Queen of England, right? She's from the Western family of Germany, the original Germans. These are Edomites. So there's no need in pointing out those who are not a part of the families, because the dukes and all these others keep their bloodline separate. Another thing, people are sleeping or thinking that there's something wrong with the prince who just over in England married a quote-unquote, what they call, a so-called black woman. Well, that's deception also, because her father has Edomite, pure blood of the Edomites on her father's side. So it's still them doing what? Marrying within family according to the bloodline of the fathers. Usually, they do not allow their pure blood Edomite family to mix with Gentile blood that doesn't have a father linked directly to the original Edomite families. The Vikings and others, the Vikings are pure Edomites, the original Vikings. Now, this is, some people, some people think that one of the main reasons that Princess Diana was quote unquote killed under that bridge was because she went and married someone outside the family. All right. All marriages are arranged according to bloodline. Therefore, you don't have to point out. Like, for instance, the one people in particular that we can point out to say, okay, here's some Edomites that we can probably point to and say, okay, the ones who mix themselves amongst Ishmael. okay? These are they, the Ishmaelites, who are Arabs. I mean, the Edomites, who mixed themselves with Arabs, stayed amongst the Middle Eastern families. So they're Arabs, but they're more so the lighter-skinned Arabs, opposed to the darker ones. These would be considered the Edomites amongst Ishmael. And they can actually be pointed out easily. I lived in Egypt for a time. And those Edomites are Ishmaelites, or amongst the family of Ishmaelites, but they're different. They look like Edom. Okay? Some of them look a little lighter in between. All right?
Okay, yeah, because I was asking, like you spoke about, you know, just your regular, I guess, blue-blooded Americans.
Yeah.
And their skin was just as pale, but, you know, but they probably wasn't of the
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, the Mount of Esau, and it's
yeah.
like if they're the same
the
complexion.
Yeah.
Right, and they're just as pale as those who were the Canaanites who mixed. Just your regular everyday
exactly.
citizen around here. So I was wondering, were they, I know they weren't of that bloodline, but how did their skin get so pale if they never mixed with the clean lepers?
Well, you have to realize, and again, it's hard to isolate them all together. So because it's not as if they were given, okay, a large country that you can say, okay, that country belonged to this specific Edomite family. It doesn't work like that because Esau had hid himself amongst the nations intentionally. So you cannot really point the Edomites who separated themselves in family from the Edomites of royalty. You have to look at the fact that they have done that for us. They have pointed out the Edomites who inbred and live amongst each other in these countries, the Ten Horns. The Ten Horns, or the European countries, are the Edomites. Anyone on the outside are separated and are not identified with those inbred families. So it's really not trying to figure out those who are not amongst the hierarchy of Esau. The Most High points out the Mount of Esau for a reason, because that should be the focus. Okay?
Okay. I got it. I appreciate it. Thank
All
you,
right.
Roger.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother. And great question. Mm-hmm. All right. Great
Thank
question.
You. Shalom.
Shalom. Great question. 864 area code.
Shalom, Elder Akar.
Shalom. I'm going to take your call for a second. Hold on one second, sister. What I'm going to look into is whether or not there were tribal names separate within Esau, like you have the 12 tribes of Israel, because when you talk and said that, brother, something came to my mind and say, you know what? Maybe we can identify them under their tribal names when Esau mixed with Ishmael. Was that a tribe that we can identify in the earth today? So that's a very good research point that I'm going to really, a matter of fact, I'm going to write that down because that may lead to something, a greater lesson, actually. One second, sister. Let me write that down. The tribal names of Esau. The same way we have Israelites, where we have Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, maybe there's a way in which I can do some research up to their origin and see what tribes they were called when Esau mixed with Ishmael and brought forth a child, whether or not there's a tribal label over that family. Thank you. I'm going to go into that. That's interesting in and of itself. How you doing, sister? Happy Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Happy Feast of Unleavened Bread, Elder. Sister Maria with the Atlanta Body. It's kind of the Passover was beautiful as usual. It's my second one. Didn't get to get any pictures with you at Passover, but you snuck up on us at the airport, and we got to get a little selfie on right before
boarding. Oh,
that
was you.
So that was a blessing.
As you can see, sister, the Most High didn't forget you. He knew you wanted to, you know, to get in, and at least you like, oh my God, I didn't get a chance to sit there and converse and take a picture with the elders and look, I popped up behind you, all right? I was right there with you.
Time. Absolutely.
Right, so.
Most High works in all the ways. So, of course, the play was absolutely amazing, beautiful. I mean, the whole time I'm crying during the service from Friday to Passover and then the play, just everything just hit home. But me and my husband were having like a little discussion, and he was questioning where in scripture did it show that the animals talk. I mean, because I know that, you know, like a donkey talks and, you know, here and there, but at the beginning of creation, not could have sworn that, you know, you've done it in a lesson, either in the academy or just a lesson, an older lesson. But I just want to know, where in scripture does it show where, I mean, I know Adam had dominion, but that they actually, the animals would talk to Adam and he talked back, or was that just in the play? But I could have sworn there was something that you mentioned before.
Yeah, I'm glad you're asking that, all right? The whole deal was, you cannot find that per se in the Bible, because the Bible in Genesis, when the animals were created, that's really an overview of hundreds of years of hundreds of years when it comes to creation. Really, Genesis is really micro compared to the inner stories that you would find through other records, such as the book of Adam and Eve. When you read the book of Adam and Eve, you'll know that animals once were able to communicate with man. Now, one thing is open to debate or conversation amongst Bible scholars is whether or not it was live language communication like you and I have right now, or a communication that comes through thought, where you can communicate, I think they call that telepathy, without actually speaking to one another through thought. So that's sometimes debated. Like for instance, here's an example I can give. But it tells you in the book of Adam and Eve that the animals actually communicated. They talked. All right? Now, there's one instance in the scriptures where the Most High made a horse talk. Be it a horse or a donkey talk to man, a prophet who was going off. So that led to a conversation that, okay, this is the Most High, under that instance, undoing the curse that was placed on animals where they could actually communicate. But if you're asking in particular, is there a record that shows that animals talked before the curse? That would be the book of Adam and Eve.
The water, because I'm like, I'm looking all through and trying to find something. I was like, it seems like I recall you saying something, but I don't remember if there was an actual Bible verse. So thank you. The water.
That was my only question,
the book of Adam and Eve.
Well, thank you.
It was an absolute wonderful Passover, truly blessed. And, I can't wait for the next one.
Thank you. Welcome to the body of Christ. And get ready. The saints are going to come marching in. All right?
Fine.
Hey.
Fine. All praises.
Stay with this church, and guess what? Hold on for the ride. Okay? Because we're moving. We're moving right into Zion. So I'm glad you're here with us, sisters, to experience the great awakening of God's people. And there will be trials and tribulations, but hold on. Endure. And above all, finish. All right?
Time.
Bless you. All right.
Bless you. Shalom.
Shalom, sister. What a blessed time. 757 area code.
Yes, sir. Shalom, Elder. How you doing, sir?
My brother from the same mother. How you doing, Andre?
Man,
I'm gonna call you the true Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre Jr. Talk to me.
Man, look, it's all praises, man. Look, we are still off that Passover high, Elder. I'm going to try to keep it short and sweet, man. It's just all praise to the Most High. It was such a blessing to see you in action in person, to see you work, and to just be a part of the work. I was having a conversation with AC before everything came to be, and something he said to me, and it's something I want to share with you. Brothers in truth, and the elders set this standard. just being who you are in the Most High, you hold brothers around you accountable. And by that, what I mean is, I have to give AC his flowers in this situation, because some of those things wouldn't have happened had he not challenged me. As long as I've been into health, I've been into video editing and music editing, more so mixing and mastering songs. And it was AC who challenged me and said, if you have a gift, bring it forth. You know, if you want to do a work, then there's plenty of work to do. Just help us out and do the work.
Right on.
Just so happened that me and my brother, we ended up helping, and then these things became beyond fruitful, you know. And it was hard work, and it was a blessing to see behind the scenes. Like I said, Elder, you see so many people serving the Most High to the best of their abilities to make sure this day happens and to make sure these holy days take place. And those are the works that nobody sees, Elder. To see the works that you guys do behind the scenes, those are the works that nobody sees. And I was doing my best in the interview to highlight that, because there's people from home who have to be able to see that. They have to be able to see that, look, this is faith and works. And I love the advice you told the sister when it comes to healing her son, because health is like that. We have to learn how to approach long-suffering the way Paul talked about. You have to suffer for a long time. That's the only way you can long-suffer. And it's just an amazing thing to be a part of the work. So, like I said, Elder, any way I can serve, especially when it comes to health, I'm willing to serve. I feel like the Most High gave me the knowledge and understanding for a purpose, and I have a duty to study to show myself approved in the scriptures and outside of the scriptures when it comes to the body and the nervous system. So it's just a blessing to be a part of the work. And I have to tell you, man, double honors to you, double honors to Elder Arial for the work that he's doing, man. It's a blessing. I'm still on a high, as you can tell.
Oh, hey, all of us, brother, all of us. And we're going to, listen, I'm going to take this spirit all the way to not just the first interval of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but we have seven Sabbaths leading to first fruit where the Holy Spirit came down. And at that point, we all, during the time of Pentecost, 50, the disciples were able to be under one spirit, one understanding that led to the ministry that would go throughout the four corners of the earth. So we're going to take this high we're on and not just let it down. Move this all the way to the seventh Sabbath, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, my brother. All right? I mean, not the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits.
Absolutely.
Seventh Sabbath.
Absolutely.
All right?
Absolutely.
So I'm going to be calling you. So I'm going to call you. We're going to discuss a few things, because I want you to give us the insight of what your view, being in the medical field. What was your view of vaccines before you learned amongst us, and what are your observations now that you've received the truth when it comes to vaccines? As far as I'm concerned, and we're going to have that conversation separate, is that have been their go-to magic key of actually harming and making sure the earth stayed sick. That's been their silent destruction of many people without us actually realizing. And it was more a psychological play to get us to accept and to give it to our children than it was health care. There's a difference between health care and what vaccines have done and are doing. And I want your expert opinion, not how you feel, and we're going to talk about this. We'll probably do it next week. I'll bring you in next Patreon. I'll bring you in through Zoom, and I want your expert opinion, not how you feel, on what you thought about vaccines initially during the process of you going into the healthcare field, opposed to what your thoughts are now and why. Your expert opinion next week, okay?
Yes, sir. Come. Yes, sir.
My man, get ready. I'm going to interview you next week. Hey, yo, you interviewed me, so I'm about to interview you. All right. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir. Man. Bless you, Elder. Bless
you. All right.
Man. Be safe.
All right. Bless you. Shalawa. 918 area code. 918 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom. How are you? Your name, location?
I'm Katana, located in Oklahoma, Tulsa.
How are you, Katana?
I'm great. I have a question. First of all, the Passover was wonderful. I enjoyed
Praise
it.
Praise the Most High.
I have forgive me if I mess up the name, but the book, the Pseudepigrapha, how can I pronounce it?
The Pseudepigrapha of the Old Testament.
Yes. I have volumes 1 and 2. I was wanting to know, are all the books in that book okay to read?
Every last one of them. It's just one that I would say that you need to deal with it with some level of, I wouldn't say skepticism, but through the true doctrine the Bible conveys. It's one book that I would say there's some good stuff in it, and then there's some other questionable things in it, and that would be The Secrets of Enoch, Enoch 2.
Okay?
The first Enoch was the original Enoch. All right. The second Enoch came from a Slavonic translation where some of what they were dealing with according to mythology was added. Because I can understand fully and read and understand the first Enoch, I can look into the second Enoch and tell you what's true, what they expounded on that's correct, and what's in error. So what R.H. Charles did was he had the knowledge through his linguistic skills as a translator to translate all the records. So what he wasn't going to do was leave out the second Enoch, which was a Slavonic translation. He wanted for those of higher learning to have the two, not only for theological teaching reasons, but also from a comparison perspective when it comes to high learned scholars. All right? So there's levels.
Okay.
You got teaching and you have scholarly debate that leads to a consensus amongst what you would call the intellectuals of academia. Right? So
okay.
I would say all those books are great, including Second Enoch, if you know how to filter Second Enoch through the first translation. All right?
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
And I will tell you, something else that's pretty deep. All right? And I rarely go into those, but they're deep in of itself. The Sibylline Oracles.
The what?
You're going to see that. The Sibylline Oracles. There were three Hebrew women who were virgins, who were strictly Levites working in the temple, who never had husbands. And the Most High was able to give them visions of what would happen in the future, and they would convey that to the prophets, some of the prophets during their time, to confirm that what they were seeing was correct. And I believe this is where Hollywood, have you ever seen the movie Minority Report with, what's his name, Tom Cruise?
Yes, I have.
You notice they had three girls in the water as oracles to give the future?
Okay.
And they would see a crime in the future, a ball would come down, and through pre-crime, the police would go out and get a criminal or detain and arrest a criminal before crime. Well, that whole idea of oracles and seeing the future, they got initially from the Sibylline Oracles. The Sibylline Oracles were Levite women in the temple who the Most High showed them things, and it was written down. And a lot of prophecies in the Sibylline Oracles, well, all of them, you can go into the Bible and see exactly that the prophets themselves also seen the same oracles, which are future visions, like the book of Revelation. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bless you. All right.
You too. Bye.
Bless you. 252 area code.
Shalom, Elder. How are you?
Shalom. How are you, Sister Lisa?
I am blessed by the best, sir.
All right.
I am
talk to me.
So happy to talk with you. The Passover was absolutely amazing. It was bittersweet. You know why it would have been bittersweet for us, but it was Oh, wow. It's just getting gooder and gooder every year. But just wanted to know, sir, if I can share a very quick testimony, and then I have a question about that. My testimony, very quick, probably less than a minute. So
okay.
I was just feeling out of whack, and now this is a woman issue, so I don't want to say, you know, too much about it, but it might help another sister. It was experiencing something, and I didn't panic. I didn't run to the doctor. One thing I'm very big on is the herbs, natural healing, natural medicine, you know, prayer and all of that stuff. And it was like the Most High and the Ruach was just, it was like conversation speaking to me on what to do. It was a very, it's not weird. I don't know the word to describe it. It was like directing me what to do. Stay calm. Don't panic. It's not what you think kind of thing. And directing me on the herbs to take and what to do. First thing I did is fasted for 2 days straight, dry fast. Did a dry fast, fasted, prayed. Then the Most High, through the Holy Spirit, said, change your diet, because even though I eat healthy, you know, sometimes you still eat things with sugar in it. Even though I don't eat processed food, there's still things with sugar, and, you know, sugar is not the best, you know, in certain instances. So I cut out sugar, cut out carbs, went on keto, and there was a tonic, herbal tonic here that I got that had all of the burdock root, blueberry, all kind of herbs in it. And with the fast, with the cutting out the carbs, with the cutting out of sugar, within 1 week, that situation was completely gone. It was completely, I don't know if I can say what it is, because it's so, it's important, but then I don't want to be, I don't want it to be vulgar. Okay, how do I say it? It's the...
Now, we got
your
lot of
breath.
Calls, Lisa, so I don't want to rush it, because I know you've been waiting. But
no, it's in your breath. So a woman's breast.
Okay.
So that situation was turned around within 1 week, and was completely healed off food.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about, like, sometimes people get lumps and things of that nature?
Yes. Yes, sir. I didn't know if I can say it. Yes. It was a cyst.
Okay. Listen, that's fine. You experience a cyst, and a lot of brothers and sisters don't know that a lot of that is a process that happens ignorantly through them going to get mammograms that actually begin to attack.
Never got one in my life.
Tissue.
I've been in this too long to know not to get that. Never got one
so
in my
never
life.
Never got that, which is good. But you noticed, you felt the cyst, and when you prayed to the Most High and you began to eat the right things, you yielded instant result, is what you're saying.
Yes, with the herbs and everything the Most High told me to do, it was the size of an egg, Elder. And it just happens because I know my body. So it just like appeared almost because I had my cycle at the same time.
Let me ask you, if you don't mind, because if you don't mind, what type of herbs or what did you eat? What did you change in your diet?
Okay.
You stopped eating sugar. That's number one. But what herbs did you take in replacing that?
Yes, sir. So what I did is, at first I did the dry fast, 2 days, nothing. Then I went on no carbs, no sugar. So all I had was organic chicken and whatever vegetable, which is the cruciferous, my kale, my broccoli, my cauliflower, your carrots, the beet tops, not, you know, the beet, but the beet tops, because beet has a lot of sugar.
Okay.
So I use mostly the greens from the beet tops. And I didn't want to just eat all these vegetables, so I basically blend all my vegetables in the blender and drank my vegetables that I needed to get. On top of that, the other herbs was the – sorry, sir?
No, go on, because I do have a time.
The other herbs was moringa, the dandelion, and the soursop, those three. okay? Yes. So I made teas out of those because they're everywhere here. You can get it everywhere. And then but sugar was the main thing. I didn't even have honey because honey is good for you, but it still has sugar. So I didn't even have honey or anything like that. It just completely went cold turkey sugar, cutting out sugar. And then I had the tonic that I found here that I'm going to send to you because that thing is amazing. And it had all
the
good stuff in there.
What's the name of the tonic? What's the name of the tonic?
Okay, that's in Spanish. I'm sorry, sir. I'll send that. I'll let Leslie send that because it's in Spanish.
Okay.
I really can't pronounce
the
name.
Yeah. And when I'm on, I'll make sure that I'll let everyone know exactly what you're taking. Because sometimes it's good, even though I don't, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything, but even when someone tell me they did something that works and it's herbal, natural, by God, the least we can do is let other brothers and sisters know that there are herbal alternatives.
Yes.
Now, outside
and
of that,
was,
what was your question?
It was cheap.
But, good.
It was very cheap. So with that, what my question then is, how do we tell the difference? Because I've been in this with the Academy long enough to know sicknesses are tied to different sins. So one of the things I did is just to make sure knowingly or unknowingly there was no sin. So that's the first thing I did, pray, repent, and all that. But how do we know when it's a spiritual attack compared to there's some sin when these sicknesses come on, you know, out of nowhere?
Well, the whole thing is because we're living in a condensed population, okay, we're living differently than we've lived according to scripture where you would have your own land. And when you seen people, it was a need to see them based on bartering or coming together for special occasion. So it's hard to understand the two or to differentiate the two, excuse me. Why? Because we're living in a condensed population where we're rubbing elbows and walking amongst people who may be vaccinated or have cold, flu, or whatever the case might be. And it's just catching things is strictly a thing through contagion at a point because contagion have been engineered. So if you're getting sick because you've caught something from another person, you can't say that, okay, it's because of sin I've gotten sick. Now, that's the contagion part of it. Whether or not they spray in something in the air, the example you gave is they're poisoning our foods under certain circumstances. You've isolated and identified that, which had nothing to do with your sin outside of putting something in your body that was harming you, right? Now, so I can say that. Now, the other thing is usually you can identify something that came in through sin when it's not contagious. It's nothing you've eaten, and it comes out of nowhere, and the Most High wants you to search yourself to heal. And through that, if that, whatever you're going through that comes to your conscious that you need to heal or mend with the Most High and it heals that sickness, you'll know that that sickness was attributed to that sin you fasted for. You would yield instant results and know, okay, obviously the Most High heard my prayer and healed my sin that came to mind. And the result of that is how my body reacted. Usually it's afterward you can tie those two together, not beforehand.
Okay,
right?
Sir. Okay.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, Christ
okay,
was
sir.
Able to identify it initially. He would heal a person and say, sin no more. He knew that person's sin, that sickness was attributed to that person's sin. But that person probably didn't know it, right?
Yeah.
So when people have worry yes, and all these other, when people have worry, when they have, issues that they've compartmentalized through sin without facing it, it usually turns into some level of sickness. But when people begin to what? Forgive themselves, go to the Most High for their sin instead of hiding it and be truthful concerning it, usually whatever ailment that's been ailing them heals. So, and that's the part that modern medicine aren't telling people, is that some of our sickness are attributed to our hurt, our past sins that we haven't faced, fessed up to within ourselves. Some of us haven't forgiven ourselves from past sin, and it turns into sickness. So it's best to do what you said, sister. Look into anything that you could have done and have compartmentalized and put away and ask Christ to forgive us for it. And usually that weight comes off, and then what happens? The sickness goes away. Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate that, and that's exactly what we did. And I didn't want to share it with my family because they would have pushed you to, oh, go see a doctor, go this, that. I was like, no. In my mind, I knew I was okay, and I just followed what the Most High said to do, and that's my testimony. I appreciate you, Elder. Great. Whenever you get a chance after Feast of Unleavened Bread, if you can give us a call, we have some big things that we need to discuss with you in reference to what we talked with you before. And we have to make a decision. But thank you, sir, for listening, and you have a blessed Sabbath.
Okay, and tell Leslie I said hello. Have a blessed end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and I'll call you next week, all right?
Yes, sir. We'll send that picture to you because it's for men and women.
Okay.
It's for everything you could think of in your body going wrong. I was shocked. It was here, and it's cheap, like I said, sir.
I appreciate it.
Yes,
and guess what? I'll utilize it. Praise the Most High. Thank you, Lisa.
Yes, sir. Shalom.
All right.
Bye-bye, sir.
Shalom. Getting to the next call. 574 Q&A with the elders. Let's see. 574. Then 443.
Shalom, Elder. Double honors to you.
Shalom.
And the other elders in the ministry. This
Bless
is Shem Walla from the Chicago Body. I have a question concerning the tribe of Dan, and also, like, when you're feeling dark amongst the body, like, how do you go?
All right, let's break. Let's break it down one question or comment at a time. Dan, what do you want to know about Dan? Let's deal with that first.
Where is Dan today?
Dan would be your modern-day Cypriots or those that are on the Greek islands. A matter of fact, it tells you that the Spartans of Greece were Danites. All right? They were known as – the Danites were known as the sea people. So when you look at the Cypriots or the dark Greeks on the Greek islands, these are from the tribe of Dan, in particular.
Oh. Okay, so now my second question as far as, so obviously I was at the Passover, and, you know, this past year, from Passover to Passover, you know, you're striving to do better and be better amongst the body and operating with this ministry and coming to Christ, and you find yourself sinning and you recognize that sin, you address that sin, and then, you know, and then you're amongst the body and you feel that guilt and that shame for not operating correctly within the year from Passover to Passover. And, you know, you went into Judas, and then you begin to feel like Judas, you know, how especially when envy and backbiting and murmuring against the work or against, you know, you have a while ago you were talking about critiquers and people who come in and want to be the cherry on the top, you know, and then you find yourself doing that, and then you're amongst the saints where you're supposed to be having a great time, you know, and you just feel that guilt and that shame because you didn't operate correctly within the last year. You know, like how do you move forward to continue to work on yourself with that? I mean.
Okay, well, what you're dealing with is internally. It isn't affecting anyone else negatively. These are thoughts. And as long as you don't act on those thoughts, you're okay. As long as you don't act on those thoughts, as long as you don't attack people and harm others, negative thoughts come. Dark moments come. But what you do is you pray, You ask the Most High to take that spirit from you and continue. Negative thoughts come to all people. Now, if you sinned against a person or did something wrong, then the Bible says confess your faults to one another so that you can be healed. Now, you don't go to every person you've thought of something negative about because that's ridiculous. You can't do that unless you act on that thought. Right? Unless you acted on that thought, there's no sin. So I would say don't overthink things and understand what you're dealing with is natural. It's a natural progression going from someone who had no accountability in the world for whatever you've done to transitioning into righteousness, being able to point out the negative or wrong in oneself. So just because now you're conscious of your sin doesn't mean you need to now beat yourself down with every negative thought that comes. All right? So I think you put too much on yourself. You think too much. All right? If a negative thought comes, you know what? You say, Satan, get behind me, and you do the contrary to what that thought is trying to force you into. And you're going to find that spirit lift off, and you'll realize it was a spiritual attack. It had nothing to do with my thoughts, but something entering me to perceive and to view things negatively. But that's a natural progression that happens to all people, brother. There's nothing wrong with you. Stop putting and these are people who stay in their own heads. And that's what's going on with you. As long as you're not executing sin against someone else, negative thoughts will come. They come all the time into none of us are immune to negative thoughts. It's what you do with them. Okay?
Con, so water, double honor. So bless you. Bless your family. And, you know, let's finish.
All right. And when a negative thought comes or that dark thing comes, say the Lord's Prayer and see if it's there after that. All right.
Yes, sir.
Disappear. Gone. There you go. Thank you. All right. Great question. Shalom. 443 area code 443. Only have a few more that I can take. We're going to try to make these short, brothers, so I can get to the rest of the people who are waiting online. And if I don't get to everyone, I apologize. We'll pick it up next week. All right.
My question is the three books of Solomon okay to read? I bought the book of Solomon, but it was all combined in one. It was like the Lesser, the Greater, and then the Testament of Solomon.
No, the Testament of Solomon is good. The rest of them, you have to be careful with.
Okay, what about the Cave of Treasures?
The Cave of Treasures. Hold on. Now, which books of Solomon do you have again?
The Greater and the Lesser of Solomon was all combined in one book when I ordered it.
No. The only thing, there's an original Testament of Solomon that's good. So I got to make sure you have the right translations because, believe it or not, there's Solomonic magic under Jewish mysticism. And what they do is they have these books so that they can actually conjure and deal with different spirits that led Solomon astray. So you have to be careful that these books that you don't have, that you ordered, are the right books. What I'm hearing right now are the books that witches ordered. You should just get the original Testament of Solomon and leave the rest alone.
Okay. And what about the Cave of Treasures?
The caves. Now, where did you get that from?
Just the cave. Amazon.
You got that from Amazon, but what is the origin? Does the Bible refer you to the Cave of Treasures?
Hello?
Did the Bible refer you to the caves of treasures?
No.
Well, I would say hold off on that before going into it. Let me look into it to see its origin, right?
Okay.
Because usually I only deal with...
How much longer do we have before the mark of the beast since they're trying to switch us to CBDCs already?
How long?
Yeah.
Not too long. I believe that... I believe around 2030 will be when they kick it all in. I believe they'll try to have money out of the system by 2030.
Okay, that was my only question.
All right. So hold off on that other book. I just pulled it up. I'm going to do a review. I'm going to look at this. I'm going to study it and see if there's anything to the Caves of Treasures. And I'll get back with you by next week, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bless you. 804 area code. Shalom.
Shalom, Elder. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, sir. Shalom. This is Tamika calling from the Greenville body.
Yes.
I had a question about the ashwagandha herb. I heard you mentioned it a few weeks ago on the Hebrew Academy.
Yeah, ashwagandha. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I just was wondering, I guess I'm asking because I had purchased the gummies a few weeks ago. About a month ago. And when I heard you bring that out, I was like, oh, my gosh, because I had, you know, I mean, I thought it was a natural herb, and I thought it was okay to kind of help.
Oh, no, I corrected that. Ashwagandha is a good herb, okay?
Okay.
That is a good herb.
Yes, sir.
I think that you probably heard through the video, but afterwards I corrected it in the same video. Ashwagandha is a good herb.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you so much. Well, that was my only question.
All right. Thank you, and have a blessed end to your Feast of Unleavened Bread, all right?
You too, sir. Shalom.
All right. Shalom. 347 area code.
Shalom, Elder. My first question is a short one. How would a vegetarian celebrate Passover, you know, if they don't eat meat?
Great question. A vegetarian would celebrate Passover by eating meat once a year in respect of Christ being the sacrifice for us.
Oh, okay.
And then they'll continue whatever they were doing before that.
Oh, okay. Now, my next question deals with, you sort of answered it from my part, you know, in talking about the before you came into Patreon. But for someone who stubbornly does not want to listen to the videos or something. I have a friend whose sister, you know, she has, you know, since given the, you know, text of the videos and everything. She said, oh, they're too long. They don't want to see it. And her belief is that if you accept Christ, then, you know, you're okay that you go to heaven. But how can, you know, get through to her that what she's doing, you know, in the pagan churches is not the way? I don't know, what can she say?
Well,
to
I think I answered this question a couple of weeks ago, right? I told you that Christ said, ye that believe on me, as the scripture has said.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So she not believing in Christ, as the scripture has said, if she's still holding to pagan customs and traditions. So she don't know what, as long as I believe in Christ, looks like.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's nothing you can do about it outside of delivering her the word. And if she don't mm-hmm. accept the word, the Bible says after the second or third admonition, one is a heretic, reject.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that you ought to stop talking to her as far mm-hmm. as being able to relate to her on the levels you both had a relationship before. But you cannot force a person to see who wants to stay asleep. It's impossible.
Okay. All
you
right.
have to back off.
Oh. Just back off and leave them alone. Okay.
Yeah, leave them alone concerning that. And keep the relationship like it was beforehand. and allow the Most High to open a door later where she will inquire to what you're dealing with.
Oh, okay.
You have to be patient.
Okay, and one final question is
yes.
To really celebrate Passover, officially, do you need to go to a holy convocation, or can you just celebrate it in your homes with your family like we did during the pagan holidays, you know, like we did when we got together for Christmas and Thanksgiving?
Well, see, that is a good question, right? The Bible tells us that it's one of the 3 days we should come together under a holy convocation and do not show up empty-handed. But also you have to understand where the grace of Christ kicks in. For those who cannot get to someplace, don't forget Christ is holding the ceremonies in heaven for those who cannot come together as of yet. So he's still covering us through that grace by him dealing with the ceremonies from week to week, from Passover to Passover in the heavens for those who cannot attend currently, right? So that's where grace is covering until you can actually come together under that holy convocation. Okay.
Because I cooked a leg of lamb in my home, you know, and my family enjoyed it together and all together.
Fantastic. Well, sister, believe it or not, that's how we did it at first. That was my initial doing it before there was a congregation. There was one time where there was no church. There's no way I could gather, but Christ was still doing it. And in respect of him dying for the sins of our nation, I would do it once a year in my own home, just amongst my own family. So initially, that's what's done until he bring us together. Okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. So you've done well. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Shalom.
You're welcome. Bless you. Shalom. Great questions. 205 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom. How are you?
I am blessed by the best. His name is Ahia.
Great. All right.
I was calling because I wanted to make it to Passover, but I couldn't. But when I tell you, you can feel it through the TV. And I played it in my room, and
great.
It has just been a blessing. But I don't want to be one of those people to call too much, but I wanted to share this with you because when I first started listening to you, I kept listening because you kept going over the Bible, but you would say so much that I would get upset. I was like, he always talking about women. But that's the enemy. He blocked me from so much. So anyway, I have come off of the thyroid medicine.
Great.
And when I tell you, the brain fog is leaving, because when you talked to me the last time, you were very kind and patient, like, sister, you're trying to get your thoughts together, which I appreciate that, because now I can see it. And I kept asking God, like, why did I not understand what was going on? Because you kept saying the biggest lie we were ever told was that our bodies couldn't heal ourselves. But I think because in the culture, we all respect the persons. When we hear the word doctor and they say, well, you have to take this for the rest of your life, therefore, you go into so much deception, believing all of this. So all these years, on Sunday, God showed me, because I keep every morning I pray the 103rd Psalm when he promised to heal our diseases. And I said, Lord, I keep praying. So he showed me the medication. I looked up the side effects, never could find this information. And how it was 3 pages worth of side effects. And everything I was experiencing, my eyes being dry. You name it, I was going through it. And everybody, before when I got diagnosed, it wasn't social media, but now you can look it up and you can see all these, comments. I'm tired of warning. It was like, I get it. We're taking the medicine, causing it to our own bodies. But because of that, respect, you got to take it. And I'm like, Lord, and you said, sister, I'm telling you as not an elder, but a brother. And I was so appreciative. Came out of that relationship, have not looked back. I'm so excited. One thing I'm praying for, this is my question. Can you guys come down south to Atlanta for the Passover?
Well, we were initially about to, but there's no venues that can actually hold us based on the number. And if we were to go there, I mean, they're trying to tax us and trying to really charge us out of the realm of being able to do it there. All right. So, but if we can find, and really at this point, near the end, sister, we're really at the end of giving them all of the church's money to have events that can bring us together, more so than putting the money into something that would belong to us to do it. So, listen, I never say never. Who knows where the Most High will have it? It will probably be in Atlanta. I don't know. But right now, based on the number, we had to do the Passover in a venue that can hold the saints and allow us some type of relief cost-wise. All right? So, and that's where that is. And listen, we had the whole Church of Atlanta and others travel by plane or whatever the case is, train or driving, and converged on the Passover. And keep in mind, sometimes the Passover in Jerusalem in ancient times, during crisis time, it was a 10-day journey. There was no planes. There was no trains. I'm talking about 10-day journeys on horses and camels to get to the Passover. So I'll never say never.
Okay.
I'll never say never, but if we find a venue in that area that could belong to our church that can hold 5, 6,000 people, 4,000 people at once, we'll consider that. All right?
All right. And I appreciate, you know, the night when you had everybody speak, because it was so on point when you were saying that a lot of times you've already been so hurt and wounded. So when you come across, you're skeptical, you hear, oh, this is a cult. So when I went to the location in Atlanta, where it was located was like on the dark, not a dark road, but a road off of the, you know, main street. And so I was like, oh, my goodness, what if this is not the right building? I'm out here by myself. And, you know, so I just turned around. I never went in, which now I know under that medication was the enemy that stopped me from even doing that. So I appreciate you all being patient, even with the young lady the other night who had the miscarriages.
Well, sister, I do got to get to the next call. I got to get to the next call, sister. I have
thank
a lot
you,
of
and Shalom.
All right. Shalom and bless you. All right. But, yeah, those initial thoughts do come through. All right. So you got to fight through those initial thoughts and understand it's the devil trying to keep you, Satan trying to keep you from the gathering of the body. So I'm glad that when those thoughts come, we must fight through those. We, believe it or not, through our own psyche, create our own prisons. All right. So I'm glad she understood to look into some of these strongholds, which they call medications that were making her sick, to break through. All right. All praises. All right. Let's see. Only got a few more calls to take at this point. All right. I'm going to randomly grab some calls. 305 area code. Area code. All right. 647 area code. Last call for this evening.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello?
Have a blessed Passover. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to everyone, but I will open this up next week to have a greater dialogue. 647 area code. Elder Ricardo of the Gathering of Christ Church. Happy Feast of Unleavened Bread. You're the last this evening. I'm blessed.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm blessed.
Good.
Your name?
Donna calling from Canada.
How are you doing, Donna?
I'm good. I spoke to you the other day.
Okay. The floor
is
yours.
Yeah, you said you were going to call back, but I know you were busy, so you know what? I just said, you know what? I'll get him another time. Okay, I have two questions. I'm for you, and I'm going to make them very fast. Okay, I want to say furthermore, thank you so much for this Passover. It has been great. I've been watching you online, and I went to the one here in Toronto, and it was great. It wasn't great like yours. It wasn't great like yours, but it was good because that's the first one I ever been to. And I want to thank you so very much. May the Almighty continue to bless you, sir. And you just continue to do the work of God. You're doing great things for us as Hebrew Israelites, and especially bringing us to the Most High and to the truth. So I want to thank you so much for doing that. Okay. I wanted to take the Lord's Supper, but I think I was told that I couldn't unless I was baptized under the name of
have to be a baptized member, because there's a process of transitioning from the old beliefs, whatever those might be, that would deter you from the unity within the doctrine. So there is a transition that we must help you through so that you can have, you're fully conscious of and aware of what you're doing when it comes to gathering. Suppose you take communion and you find a week or two later that you don't believe everything. Maybe there's something we're teaching. You may learn a month from now, you know, that you should have went through the process of understanding comes up, and now it shakes your faith. So we have a process where you go to the elders and deacons or the officer we have in position, and we go into the doctrinal part of giving you the understanding leading up to baptism. And at that point, we commune together after baptism.
Oh, okay. But, all right. My other question is this. Okay, like my husband and I, we've been married for almost 13 years, I wasn't married before. He was married before, and I was told because he was married before and I wasn't married, I was told that we are not married, and so I keep having this thought in my head that I'm committing adultery.
No. Is your husband divorced?
Yes.
Okay. The Bible says in time past, he winked at your ignorance and now called everyone, all people, everyone here to repent. So if your husband, it depends on the grounds of the divorce, right?
The grounds of the divorce 80%, was because his wife was the devil's wife. She was very wicked.
Well, I want to talk about the brother's wife, but this is what I'm saying. I don't want to go there because that's subjective.
No,
that's
I didn't say brother. I said devil.
No. What I'm saying is I didn't say brother either. I don't want to go into someone's outside perspective of what this woman was without her stating her point of this.
Okay.
That's wrong. What I'm saying is, if she have grounds, 80% of marriages are actually spearheaded by women. Okay?
Yeah.
So the Bible says, and it depends on the grounds, but all in all, whatever we've done before the truth, that's where grace comes in. When we're baptized, we're given a new lease of life and an opportunity to go forward without past guilt.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So leave that behind. You and your husband get baptized and go forward. The relationship is over. Leave that relationship behind you. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Stop thinking about this woman. Stop thinking about anything. The Most High move you.
No, it's
you
just
both
that because
that.
I thought, like, you know, because I've never been married before until I married my husband. And, you know, and then after, if you know Pastor Jennings, as I told you before, he kept saying that.
Again. Pastor Jennings is off, okay? He's off, okay? Take all of that. Even Christ says that a husband and wife is to be together except for fornication, which means if someone went out and did something against the union, a man or woman is not in bonds to that sin, okay? So the whole deal is you can't say, okay, someone committed a fornication or whatever the case is, a divorce happened, and now this person who's been violated cannot go on based on the sin of the person who led to their separation. Mm-hmm. So even Christ gave a condition for someone to remarry if they're divorced. He says, except for fornication.
Okay.
So Pastor Jennings, I'm not here, right? He's off. He's in the wrong doctrine. He worshiped on Sunday. He told everybody, his own congregation, he was an extension of a government having his congregation get vaccinated. He's a pagan.
Yeah.
So no. And this is what they do. They put bonds on you that they can't carry themselves like Pharisee. You and your husband been together for almost for decades, and now he have you thinking about something you can't fix. Be a wife to your husband. Forget what he's talking about and serve the living God without past thought. Okay?
Okay. So with that said, so you said I just have to get a little bit more teaching about the...
No. This is what you have to do. You go to the brethren who was over the area that you gathered for Passover and let them know you want to be baptized member of the church. He'll tell you the process and we'll begin what? We'll begin coming together under one mind, one spirit as a body.
Okay.
What? Any questions or doubt you might have in this transition will be taken care of once you begin the process.
Okay.
All right?
All righty.
So at this point, I would say empty yourself from that foolishness that came through Jennings and learn again.
Yeah. It was bothering me for 4 years. 4 years I went to my poor husband. I tried to separate myself in a way by sleeping in another room because I'm thinking I'm doing wrong.
No,
I can't even enjoy my husband because, you know, because I'm thinking, oh, my God, no, the Lord is watching me. You know, all of that's been on my mind.
Cult. Sister, that's cult.
Okay.
That's cult. All right, you're fine. You're free. Okay.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I love you. Thank
you
for your work again that you've been doing. And please continue and keep me in your prayer and my family.
You're in my prayer, sister. And ignore that mess and go embrace your husband. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, brothers and sisters. That concludes our phone calls.